Chapter. Familiar story for many of us of Zacchaeus, the tax collector, who lives in the town of Jericho, a good, healthy, long walk east of Jerusalem, many miles actually. Tax collectors, of course, did just that. They collected taxes, and in this case, not just like the IRS, they collected taxes for the Romans, for the occupying power. So tax collectors were not popular people for that reason, but even more because tax collectors made their money by collecting more taxes than they needed to. Whatever they needed to pay to Rome, they would pay to Rome, and they could keep the rest. And as you'll see, we hear in this story that Zacchaeus, the tax collector, was the chief one and was also rich, which would make him even more despised by the people of Jericho. So hear now the word of God as it comes to us from the 19th chapter of the Gospel of Luke. Jesus entered Jericho and was passing through it. A man was there named Zacchaeus. He was a chief tax collector and was rich. He was trying to see who Jesus was, but on account of the crowd, he could not, because he was short in stature. So he ran ahead and climbed a sycamore tree to see him, because Jesus was going to pass that way. When Jesus came to the place, he looked up, and he said to him, "Zacchaeus, hurry and come down, for I must stay at your house today." So he hurried down and was happy to welcome him. And all who saw it began to grumble and said, "He has gone to be the guest of one who is a sinner." Zacchaeus stood there and said to the Lord, "Look, half of my possessions, Lord, I will give to the poor. And if I have defrauded anyone of anything, I will pay back four times as much." And Jesus said to him, "Today salvation has come to this house, because he too is a son of Abraham. For the Son of Man came to seek and to save the lost." The word of the Lord. Thanks be to God. Pray with me. O Lord, may the words of my mouth and the meditations of all of our hearts be acceptable in your sight, you who are our rock and our redeemer. Amen. People love Zacchaeus. First of all, it's just a fun name to say. It's one reason kids love Zacchaeus. But I think even more kids love the Zacchaeus story because what kid doesn't know what it's like not to be able to see the parade? They have to climb on dad's shoulders, or maybe even climb a tree in order to see what's happening. Preachers love Zacchaeus because there are a lot of sermons in here, a lot of them. You can even get a stewardship sermon out of here. Yeah, I mean, look, Zacchaeus gives 50%. Let us pray. You know, we've actually been talking about that around here the last year or two. You know, we did a little survey a couple years ago, and the leaders of our church give between 3 and 7% of their income to the church for the operating budget, for the building fund together. You know, we're trying to talk about percentage giving. In the Bible, it's called tithing, not 50%. You're safe there. It's only 10% of the Bible. But, you know, we said just pick a percentage and start to give. We encouraged people to decide, look at what you did last year and see what percentage it is as a way of sort of gauging generosity. But even more than that, I think it's actually part of the spiritual life. It's part of the way to be a follower of Jesus is to give generously, and giving a percentage is a way to do that. But even more, I think, when we think about giving as a percentage, when we give back, we're thinking about the way to live. You know, all through the Bible, it teaches that giving is the way to live. Giving of yourself, giving of your resources, sure. Giving of your finances, yes, but giving of your whole self, that's the way to live. Oh, but that's a stewardship sermon. I said we weren't going to do that. Sorry. Whenever I hear these words, I think of a friend of mine, Cindy Shepherd, who did a call to worship on the day they talked about Zacchaeus, and she implored us all to come down out of our trees. She said, "You're all up a tree. Come down out of your trees and follow Jesus." I think about that. I think about Zacchaeus just wanting to see Jesus, you know. He's not going to be a follower. He's just heard about Jesus. He just wants to see. And he can't see. He's not going to push his way through the crowd. He doesn't want to be in the front row. So instead, he just runs on ahead, climbs a tree where he'll be able to sort of observe, see what all this hubbub is about, see this person you've heard all these things about. But much to his surprise, Jesus won't have that. When Jesus comes to his tree, Jesus does exactly what my friend Cindy quoted. Come down. Come down out of that tree. You're not just going to be an observer here, Zacchaeus. No, come down out of your tree. Last week, Mark Taylor told us, used the image of a football game. Remember, talked about starting the spiritual life sort of in the bleachers, just sort of watching, and then you sort of creep up to the sidelines. But even that's not enough. You need to be in the game. You need to be in the game. You need to be a player, you know? Jesus saying to Zacchaeus, hey, don't just sit up in your tree. It's time to come out of your tree and live. It's time to be part of this. It's time to be part of it all. I remember playing poker in college. I was not a good poker player then, which leads me to never play poker now. But playing poker in college, there was a guy everybody liked. He was like, you know, the popular guy. And he wasn't a very good poker player either, because he always just bet. And he kept on betting, no matter what he had. And, you know, he won once in a while, but most of the time, he didn't win, but he was always betting. Somebody said to him once, well, why do you do this? Why do you always bet, no matter what you have in your hand? And he leaned back, looked thoughtful, and he said, in the great poker game of life, I want to be all in. And we all just sort of laughed, you know, and the game went on. But I thought about that later. I thought, that is a really lousy strategy for poker. But as a strategy for life, that's pretty good. In fact, someday that'll preach. And I think it does. In the poker game of life, I want to be all in. But it's not just that. Jesus doesn't just say, okay, come on down here, you know, join the parade. Now Jesus says, Zacchaeus, I must come to your house today. Jesus makes it personal. He makes it personal. You know, the Bible is all about personal. God is not this distant God. God is not, you know, just creates things. Okay, there you go. Have a good world. God is intimately involved with creation from the very beginning. You know, God creates everything with delight, with gladness. The stars sing for gladness when the world is made, the Bible tells us. And then God gets, you know, he wants these creatures that he's created to have freedom, and he gives them freedom, but he wants them to use it wisely, but he knows they won't. And sure enough, we don't disappoint. We don't. And ever since then, God is in this back and forth kind of a relationship with people. He's thrilled with us. He's disappointed with us. He's angry with us. He forgives us. He cheers us on. He encourages us. And over and over again, God is personally, intimately involved with his people. Sometimes in ways we look back at the Old Testament, we think, I can't imagine God changes his mind. But even that, the whole thing is about God is right there with us. Right there with us in the midst of the lives we live. And just in case we didn't get it, that's why Jesus is the ultimate revelation of God, because Jesus is the God who really does get down there in the muck with us. Jesus is the one who walks with us, talks, listens, encourages, forgives, reconciles, endures, and in the end, suffers even as we do. And surely that's what the cross is all about. It's not God way up there looking down, disappointed, sad. No, God right there with us, feeling what we feel. You know the old saying, I think it's Sergeant Shriver who said it first, you know, that a parent is only as happy as their least happy child. Parents are only as happy as their least happy child. I think that's a God statement too. God is only as happy as God's least happy child. So that's the life that Zacchaeus is invited. When Jesus says, Zacchaeus, I must come to your house, it's like, we're going to make this personal. You're not just in the game. This is personal. I'm here to have fellowship with you, Zacchaeus. I'm here to have fellowship with you, Barbara, Joseph, Thomas, Linda. This is a journey we're on. It's not Jericho to Jerusalem. It's the journey through life. And Jesus says, I'll be with you every step of the way. In the glad, in the good, in the wonderful, and in the tough, and the terrible, and the challenging. All the way through. Zacchaeus, I must come to your house this day. Jesus says that to every one of us because that's who God is. We've had a few memorial services here lately. They seem to just come in streaks sometimes. And so I've been reading John 14 a lot. John 14 are the words of Jesus when asked, what about those who have died? And Jesus gives this wonderful image. In my Father's house, there are many rooms. If it were not so, would I have told you that I go and prepare a place for you? And if I go and prepare a place for you, I will come again and take you to myself, so that where I am, there you may be also. And today, as we celebrate All Saints Day, as in a few moments we'll be calling the names of those who are, some of whom are dear to all of us, some of us who are dear perhaps to only one, and yet we will all give thanks for their lives, and we'll all think about that promise. And today, as we remember those of God's people who are now with God in heaven, until that day of glad reunion, I hear those words of Jesus to Zacchaeus even a little differently still. Zacchaeus, I must come to your house today. And perhaps the left unsaid piece. Zacchaeus, I must come to your house today because one day you will come to my house. Thanks be to God for that most precious of promises. Amen. And now let us worship God with our gifts and with song.